brothers and sisters of the world.
And we're back after a long, well, not too long, a little bit of a hiatus. We let the madness happen. And yeah, now we're back. New guest. We got Ian as always, and Agent Ian has brought on Simi. What's up, man? How's it going?
Thank you. Thank you. I'm good, man. I'm good. Hope you lot are good. Excited to be on the guest. Always, obviously, I'll listen when I can. And yeah, it was nice to be on here.
Yeah, much appreciated, especially on such short notice. I actually messed up our scheduling a little bit earlier. I got my EU to US time wrong and was out when we were supposed to record. But Ian thinking on his feet, Simi being willing to come on, much appreciated. But yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. God, where do we start? All right, we'll work our way backwards because I want to get straight into what just happened, because that 3-3, that was one of the most fun matches I've watched in a while that Inter has been involved in. And like I said to Ian before we started, that the goal from Lautaro in that match was the first time I've celebrated a goal, like actually out loud by myself in months. So we'll just go ahead and get straight into it. Ian, what were your reactions to that match?
I was full on expecting to get spanked like 3-0, you know, playing Barcelona at home, their home at Spotify New. I was thinking, all right, GG, end game, you know, Europa League anthem cue somewhere in the background, you know, you can already hear it. But no, I was really surprised to see like that Inzaghi went out and played with balls, you know. He told the players like not to just submit to Barcelona and their never-ending tiki-taka bullshit.
Yeah.
it was an amazing match. But like I said before, if you go on SofaScore, you can see how like fans rate it. And it's the highest rated match of the UCL season this so far. And honestly, it's the most exciting match of Inter and football in general that I've seen in a long, long time. It was just a back-and-forth battle. It was amazing.
Yeah. I mean, high octane. I didn't know Inter had that in them anymore. But yeah, Simi, first thoughts on the match, or I guess like final impressions at full time, like crazy. I mean,
boy, I think the first realization of how good of a game it was is when next day on Thursday, I woke up and I woke up and I saw like the reactions, and it was just like, even like the English media was onto it, like crazy game, you know, into like Serie A clubs, they don't really get recognized that much, especially by the English media. And you had like everyone talking about it, people on Twitter, people in the media, people even in the newspaper, they wrote about it. Like it was some crazy game, and it just felt like Inter had that sense of like this big club feeling for a few hours or a few days even, because for some reason, like, I mean, there are a couple of reasons, but for some reason, the way people look at Inter has sort of just like decreased a little bit, especially since the 2010 UCL win. That's what I feel like anyway. So to have like a lot of people just having their eyes on that game was very like, okay, like this is sick. Like we're actually getting recognized for this performance. Yeah, it could have been a win. That was my first feelings at full time. But once I realized, okay, as long as we do a job against Pilsen, it should be fine. That's when I was like, okay, we can actually be proud of the performance. Of course, the win would always be preferred, but you know, at the end of the day, it was a great game to watch, and I'm proud of the performance regardless.
Yeah. I mean, even in the, you know, the Scudetto season, I didn't think there was much buzz about Inter outside of, you know, Serie A circles. And I think you're right. You know, like there were a lot more people that picked up on this match and were like, wow, like this is crazy, this energy that Inter is bringing. Like, I don't know. There were a lot of eyes even before the match. Like the Twitter buzz was really on for this match. Like there were a lot of, you know, just everyone was anyone who hated Barca was on that match. So I saw a lot of prim heads, even like I saw, you know, Real fans. It was crazy. I'm not used to that many people having eyes on this team. So I was just expecting there, like, you know, we're going to come out and we're going to get our asses handed to us. And everybody's going to be like, ah, this fucking team, this Serie A team. But to hold serve like that and to really give that kind of performance away at, you know, one of one. I mean, you can call it the Spotify New. It's pretty funny now, but that's still one of the hardest stadiums to go play in the world. Like, we've seen the Barca PSG Remontada a few years ago. Like, they know how to jump on teams in that stadium, and I was expecting that, and I didn't think we could keep up. But, you know, I'm not gonna. I don't really have too much bad to say about this match. I didn't really expect a win. I went on the Studio Inter's the Simpri Pod, and I said a 1-1 draw. That was like my best case scenario. So, you know, I got the draw part right, but I didn't think there were going to be four more goals. But amazing football. Chaotic. Didn't look like, you know, when a Serie A team goes into the Champions League, but I think that's really down to Inzaghi and the way that he sets up his teams in Europe. We saw it last season with Liverpool, and I think this is just like, you know, the next step of this team, and at least in Europe. Serie A, I mean, there's still some figuring out to do, but yeah, feels good. I guess going back also, the Sassuolo match, that was the first time I saw this team really, you know, handle business. And, you know, it's if we're starting a pattern here where Inter's handling business and they're, you know, keeping up with the big teams, and, you know, we take care of business against Salernitana this weekend, you go into Pilsen, who, you know, have even less to play for than Bayern do. I think we should be handling business. We should be in the round of 16 and, you know, keep the eyes on Inter, because nobody's gonna forget that game. If we, you know, God willing, fingers crossed, knock on wood, we advance, people are gonna be wanting to watch when we play. And I don't know how you guys feel about that, but is it a welcome pressure having these eyes back on Inter now? I'll start with you, Simi.
Probably, yeah, because I think especially the last three games, so the first Barca game and then the Sassuolo game and then the second Barca game, I think the first Barca game already had a lot of eyes on Inter, and I think we sort of need that, like that expectation, that sense of, you know, like that pressure. So especially a lot of players, especially Lautaro, Freifel, I feel like, and Dzeko as well, because he feels like he still has some points to prove. And there's a lot of players in that team that just probably need that to keep going. And it was just a nice thing to see, especially in the first game, to get that sort of performance off. I mean, I know a lot of people said like it was very defensive, and Inzaghi had like weird tactics and whatnot. I think it was like as balanced as it could be, and the goal was 100% deserved. So I think ever since then, the eyes have been on Inter 100%, and it's only a positive thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ian.
Yeah, I think like some players just perform better when, I don't know, more pressure on them, more eyes watching. You know, you see Lautaro finally, I think after nine games scoring, eight or nine games. Yeah. Even De Vrij seems to be picking himself up now, you know, man marking Lewandowski twice now. Guess some people just perform better under more eyes, more scrutiny, you know. So if that gets some players to keep playing better, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I like that point, because I think we saw a few players, you know, get their head back on right after various amounts of time having it off. How De Vrij has been off for about a calendar year. Lautaro, I mean, he goes off the heat every now and then. Even we saw Gosens get a goal. I mean, that could be huge. I don't know what you guys think about that. You know, Bastoni playing. Got an assist, a very good assist for Barella. Barella getting a goal, looking himself again. Yeah, I think it was the only like performance that wasn't, you know, fully up to scratch, I thought, was DeMarco. But I won't dwell on that too much. Yeah, I guess, who do you think will benefit from this the most? Well, like, if there's an individual player that you personally are going to have your eye on more after this? Because for me, like, I'm going to be expecting to see Gosens again. Maybe even, you know, like Onana. I mean, this is like finally him getting his feet under him at Inter. I think those are two of the guys that could really benefit from this. And it could be a springboard into actually, you know, a solid career, or at least a solid season. I'll start with you, Simi.
Well, you mentioned Onana already. First of all, I just want to say I'm extremely happy for him to finally get some game time. Not just in the Champions League, but it seems like he's starting in the league now as well. and he definitely is doing his job. And I think there's a lot of expectations on him as well, because if you get your place instead of Handanovic, who's been a proven goalkeeper, yeah, he's getting old a bit now, but he's definitely an Inter legend. So, like, there's no doubt in that. So to replace him with Onana, he's not the oldest yet, but he's not the youngest either. But he's definitely done his thing for now, and very safe, very good with his feet. And I think he's also one to watch out. Like you asked, who's one player that's going to benefit off of this? I think it's Onana. And then you mentioned Di Marco. I think just going back to the Barca game as well, he was very tired. I think I said that before the game on Twitter. Like, wow, we starting him again? He's played like 4 or 5 games in a row. Like, there's not, like, of course, if he's in good form, you're meant to start him. But there's a fine line between keeping someone who's in form in the starting 11 and also giving him some rest. So I think Gosens deserved a start, and also Di Marco needed a break at the same time. But yeah, Gosens is definitely a player who I'd like to see more, and hopefully start some, I want to say, less important league games that are probably considered easier for us. So he could definitely get some game time from now on.
Yeah, for sure.
Like Simi said, you know, Gosens, he just needs to start, you know. It's, you can't really bench Di Marco in the form he's in, but, like, you need to start Gosens somehow. It's a tricky situation. But, like, seeing how he got the goal, and apparently, like Lautaro said after the match, it's been rehearsed on the training ground, like, this exact routine. Just seeing that, like, he's involved somehow, it's better, you know, this way. Also, with the recent transfer rumors that he might be out in the winter or the summer, that I hope he stays, honestly. Him and Di Marco just, like, rotating around, that would be locked down the left side for a couple of years, you know. He just needs to find his place, find his feet, you know. But when he can't play, it's that much harder to do that. So, hope he plays.
Yeah. I mean, we saw at a point where after Inzaghi decided he was just going to throw the entire kitchen sink at this to try to lock up the game at like 3-2, or was it even 2-1, 2-2? But didn't exactly work. I don't really blame the guys too much. I mean, you just faced Lewandowski two times in 8 days. And you held him to 2 goals. Those 2 goals, I mean, were, you know, huge in this match, and denied Inter, you know, the 3 points, keeps Barca mathematically alive. But yeah, what do you guys make of Inzaghi's decision making in this match? I know this has been a big thing his entire time at Inter. Is he going to be a proactive manager? Is he going to be reactive? Is he making the right subs? Is he panicking? I thought he had it pretty spot on, and even, I mean, with the pretty short bench that he has right now, because, I mean, no Lukaku, no Brozovic, you're throwing on Aslani, who's, you know, a kid, you're throwing on, you know, guys that aren't getting as much playing time. But, you know, it kind of worked out in the end. I know that the Aslani chance is pretty polarizing. I've heard a lot in both ways on it. We can get into that as well, but I want to start with Inzaghi. And you think these were the right decisions? Like, if you had to give him a rating out of 10 for his management in this match, this is hard. I know, but we're going to do this. And it's also trite, whatever, but we're going to do this. Out of 10, yeah. I'll start
Ian,
with
you. Ian, do you want to? Yeah.
I mean, look, hindsight is 2020, so seeing now how it played, it was, if you ask me, like an 8 out of 10. But, like, when during the match, I just looked like he subbed off Dzeko for Raul Belanova. And I was just like, what are you doing, man? What, this is like a weird 4-5-1 formation now, you know, just trying to clog up the midfield. Like, in the end, it worked out, you know. So that's why I gave him a higher rating. But I would also give him just an extra point for not getting Gagliardini on. He seems to be a baller. Yeah. Because, look, I love all the players that ever did Inter. Really, I love every single one of them. Like Gagliardini, I mean, when you have other options, please bring them on, you know. No, but yeah, it was definitely interesting to see even Aslani for Barella. in the 85th minute. I thought like Barella could at least last the what was it, 11 minutes longer, but in the end we just needed some fresh legs. I think that was a good call on him.
Yeah, I think what you already mentioned, the formation change after like the second goal or the first goal, I don't exactly remember. It was definitely like weird to see because it was a sort of like 5-4-1 and Belhanoğlu was like right mid and then Mkhitaryan was like left mid or something. I was very confused. And to see Lautaro up front on his own was like, is this going to work? It would have worked if, obviously, let's not go to the counter-attack with Aslani yet, but, you know, there were some nice passages of play involved as well. The only issue is, for me, is that in the previous two games, actually, no, in the first Barca game and in the Roma game, I was sort of confused why in the Roma game he made the substitutions late when we needed them earlier. And then in the first Barca game, he substituted the players earlier when we were actually playing well. So that was sort of like confusing to me. But in the second Barca game, I think the decision-making was decent enough and it was really his fault that Aslani didn't finish the chance or that we conceded the third goal or whatever. I think a 7.5 out of 10 is definitely accurate.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with everything that you guys have said. I would give him around about the same neighborhood because, you know, it's not easy to manage this part of the Champions League where it's match in the Champions League. Then, I mean, just the fate of Serie A scheduling, you get Sassuolo away on an early start and then you get Barcelona away right after that. And it's a week of just playing intense matches. And he rotated, you know, in the right spots. I don't even think he really rotated too much in the Champions League, but for Serie A, I just think he's gotten everything right over the past, what is it, like 9 days now? But also his red card at the end, I thought that's something that like Mourinho would have been proud of, getting sent off in a 3-3 terrorist tie at Barcelona. I loved that. Hopefully, you know, I mean, we should be able to manage without him on the touchline for Pilsen, but I think he's getting everything spot on right now. It took him a lot to get rid of Handanovic in goal. I know Handanovic has supposedly reacted well, giving a speech before Sassuolo, so it seems like, you know, he hasn't lost the dressing room. We're not seeing a situation like over at, say, Juventus right now, where things are quite the tire fire. But to get back to Inter, we're going to have to go into the controversy, the Aslani chance. For me, I'll just go ahead and start. I wasn't even in the moment very upset with the decision. There was a heavy touch that took him in close. And, I mean, this guy was playing at Empoli 6 months ago. To be thrown in front of 100,000 fans in Barcelona who needed this match. I don't really fault him. Ter Stegen made a good save. I mean, you had Mkhitaryan right there, but in that moment, I wasn't mad. I was happy with the draw. Once we went up 3-2 or anytime we went up in that match, I was happy. Cause I was like, all right, we have a goal cushion. If we give up a late goal, it's not the end of the world. And of course that's what happens. And I don't know. I was fine with it. I've seen some people. I even saw, like, here in the U.S., Thierry Henry on the Paramount post match talking about how greedy this guy is and how just terrible it was. And then even ripping Inter for celebrating the third goal. It was just a mess. But yeah, I'm on the side of, you know, the guy's young. He has 27 senior appearances to his name, period. I'm fine with it. It's a learning experience. The team picked him up. I think it's all going to come out in the wash. I'll let Ian start with it, though, because this is a toughie.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even say it was a Aslani miss. It was a fucking German Ter Stegen masterclass of a match. I mean, some of the saves that he pulled were amazing. So watching the replay, I wasn't even really that surprised that he saved, considering everything that's been going on in the past two matches against us. So, I mean, you can say that he should have passed, but like when you're just sprinting in all code, you really, like, he didn't even take the time to look left, you know, to see that someone's there, even if he was. It was a difficult pass to make, and it would have been a difficult finish for the other guy as well, but it is what it is, man. look, I wouldn't really fault him too much. Like you said, only what, 27 senior appearances? That's nothing, not even a full season, you know?
Yeah. I think the majority of people on Twitter that were saying, oh, you should have done this or that, was mainly non-Inter fans. Of course, you had some Inter fans that were blaming him, but I think the most of the fan base was supportive because they know that he's a young player, blah, blah, blah.
And <Don't>...
let's not go there. But I think we all know that this is, like, let's say me or you were in that position, it's definitely not the easiest finish, even though it looks easy on paper, you know? So the only concern for me is, like, you could have shot earlier maybe, which I didn't hear a lot of people say, because you did have a lot of space in front of him. But then again, you can say the touch was heavy, whatever. But yeah, the fact that he didn't sweat here is not my issue. It's more the fact that, you know, he's a young player. He learns from that. That's the most important thing. Next time he's in that sort of situation, he'll know what to do. He'll be more experienced. He'll think back to that miss and think, I'm not going to do the same mistake again. And yeah, that's the only thing he should take from it. Just learn from it.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to, you know, finally bring through some young guys, you know, it's something that Inter aren't the most successful at doing. You're going to have to give these guys like Bellanova, like Aslani, you're going to have to give them a little bit of grace because, you know, I mean, they're professionals, don't get me wrong, but, you know, even in any profession in life, you're going to fuck up at the beginning. These guys are going to make some bad decisions. We even still see, I would argue, that Bastoni doesn't make the best decisions from time to time. But you're going to have to, you know, just, it comes with the territory if we're going to start developing these guys because, you know, the finances are still in the toilet. You're going to have to bring these guys through if you want some quality. You're going to have to do it yourself. You have to develop these guys. So I'm happy to see them finally getting some playing time. Like, I mean, this is one of the biggest stages you can do it on. It's like, I mean, this time last year, Aslani wasn't even starting for Empoli. I'm not even sure if Bellanova was starting for Cagliari. So, I mean, I think both the guys show a lot of upside, at least at this point in, like, you know, the limited appearances we've seen them. I've been very happy with both of them. I've been very surprised by Bellanova even. Like, every time he comes on, he wants to beat his man. I feel like he's getting forward very well. So, yeah, I'm just really excited to see, you know, more of them, more of Aslani. You know, and I'll take whatever comes with it. I'll take, you know, these little mistakes because I'm confident it's all going to come out in the wash. I'm, you know, a lot of Inter fans, you know, we rely on the paranoia and masochism of, you know, supporting this team. So of course, you know, the mind goes straight to, oh, you know, it's going to be another PSV at home, or it's going to be Barcelona B at home, these like Champions League bottles that we've had in the past like 5 years. So I don't think that's going to happen. I'm confident that, you know, everything's going to go right with Pilsen and we're going to be through. So it's not even going to matter at the end of the day. It's going to be something we mention, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be a big deal, even though I just made you guys spit hot air on it for about 5 minutes. But yeah, moving right along. We should, I'm gonna get to the comments real quick actually. Yeah, Mattia, we just celebrated 100 episodes, of course, and we did it on like the worst possible week. And now 101 is like this big moment. Yeah, that's very funny. I'm losing my spot here, but where should we go now? I'll throw it to you guys. What do you guys want to talk about?
Have we talked about Sassuolo?
Barely. Dzeko hit 100 goals in that one in Serie A. I thought that was pretty cool. And it was a great goal, that volley. Oh, chef's kiss. It looked so weird at first, but like the technique on that was amazing.
Yeah, under pressure, 100%. I think that's not the easiest way to finish, and he did it in a striker's fashion, I think. I'm always one of those people that like to criticize him a bit earlier than some others, because me personally, that's just my personal preference. I prefer Lukaku by a mile, but that's just, you know, like I said, my own opinion. But you got to give credit where it's due. He does carry the team in certain important moments. And yeah, you just need to appreciate that.
Yeah, it does worry me, though, relying on a 38-year-old striker in, you know, important matches like this. We burned him out last year. We need Lukaku back, so that doesn't happen. Of course, I agree that Lukaku, you know, is at least the more fit partner for Lautaro, because this Jekyll Lautaro just is not it. But when you can't keep Correa healthy and Lukaku has played two matches all season, this is what we're stuck with. There was also a defensive blackout in Sassuolo. The goal to Fratesi that nobody covered him. I think he got in between Bastoni and whoever was wing back at that point. Was it DeMarco?
Might have been.
He got in there, and that was that's something that I worry about with this team right now. I'm hoping that, you know, as you know, we keep getting these matches under our belts and getting some successful, you know, results, that the defensive solidity, you know, just is going to come. But I really do worry that, you know, if someone puts in an early cross, whether it's from a set piece, like the Roma match, the Smalling goal, or if it's, you know, from open play like this one, there's just this soft spot somewhere in the defense. I'll start with you, Simi. Is this something that is just coming from the bad start to the season, or is this something that you think we're going to continue to see, you know, throughout the season? This is going to be a recurring issue.
Well, if I knew the answer to that, I could be manager, but I hope so. That is just the first thing that you mentioned. Like, it's just coming off of the bad start of the season. Maybe a bit of a lack of confidence and a lack of unity in the defense, but it could just be like I said, just lack of concentration in certain situations. And especially, I don't know if Ian definitely knows, but you probably don't know, I was in the stadium for the Roma game. I did see that second goal, and it was literally on my side. I was on the Curva Sud. So I saw that there was just no one really like tracking anyone. So seeing that, that lack of concentration had me concerned. Yeah, it was a set piece, but, you know, still, you need to be able to defend those with more power, with more, like, determination. So, yeah, no, I hope it gets fixed throughout the course of the next few games. And I think as long as the defensive line stays sort of the same, then I think we should be fine. Because what I don't like is the whole rotating Damian to left wing back, then right wing back, then DiMarco center back, then he's left wing back. And then Gosens is left wing back, and then someone's like, the constant rotation is not good for the team, because then they're confused. Someone's playing on the left side, and then someone's playing on the right side, and no one really knows who's responsible for what side. I think the whole switching around, I know they're trying to make subs, and DiMarco and Damian are you know, usable on a lot of positions, but I think it can be too much, because you can confuse the unity of the defense and just, you know, sort of like mess up the harmony almost that we have when, let's say, Bastoni, De Vrij, or Atieri, and then Skriniar are playing. So, yeah.
Yeah, consistency is going to be key going forward. I think there's still some questions. I think we're still going to see a lot of Acerbi this season. But, Ian, what are you thinking?
I couldn't have put it better than Simi did, really. I think he hit it on the spot. Like, you know, you just need consistency, and then, like, all these mistakes will bow. Like, who needs to cover who? Who's going to mark this in this situation, you know? But it's really hard, you know, when you have now two great central center backs in Acerbi and De Vrij, you know, you don't really know who to play when, or when you do. Like, now De Vrij is getting kind of back and forth. You know, we've seen, like, two great games for him against Barcelona. Acerbi has been solid as ever, even whenever he was on. So what would you guys do? Who would you start? Because this is such a difficult question for me right now.
You know, I kind of like what we're doing right now with Acerbi in the league and De Vrij in the Champions League. As long as we're in the Champions League. Well, I mean, the group stage is almost over. But I think Acerbi just brings something a little more no nonsense when we're in the league. And I feel like DeVry, sometimes I wonder if he's proved everything he can prove in Italy. So I feel like he gets up more for these Champions League matches. And I think the performances kind of reflect that. So, I mean, you keep that going until, you know, that runs out, or, you know, we have this long break. I guess, you know, there's a whole World Cup in between, and I guess, you know, De Vrij's going to be playing there, right? In the Netherlands. Yep. Yeah, they're there. So he's going to be there. And I guess we'll see what kind of condition he comes off of. Coming back with that. And yeah, I'd keep Acerbi in the league as long as you can. Once we start hitting some midweek Serie A, you know, you get your rotation in. And then, yeah, it's just going to be up to, for me, whoever wants it more in training and whoever, you know, is getting rewarded for their performances. And right now it's Acerbi in the league for me.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the rotation, you basically said what I was thinking anyway. I think Acerbi is great for league games. I didn't really know what to make of him when he first arrived, because obviously he played in a fullback at times, and I didn't really know how he was going to fit in that central defensive role. But he's done a good job so far. I was also impressed that when I was in the stadium, he was doing he was bringing on a decent performance. And yeah, I think, like you said, the fullback spots as well as the centre-back spots are to fight for. And whoever deserves it in training, whoever earns it in training, should play there. I think Belanova, if he continues to work hard, I think he can get a couple of league starts over Dumfries. That's definitely in there. And then obviously Damian's still versatile. I think if he works hard, he can get maybe some midweek starts, or maybe even against Pilsen, he might go into that right wing-back spot. I think that could be a possibility. And then, yeah, you already mentioned Gosens and Di Marco. That battle's going on as well. So, yeah, it's a fair battle for everyone, I think.
Yeah, you need that. That's something we haven't had in this squad for a while. You know, there were times before last season, before Perisic hit whatever, you know, gear that was that he hit last season, but especially before he came back after Bayern, there was never any competition for him on that left wing, and he would disappear for months. I think we'd see it sometimes with Brozovic. You could see some complacency creeping in. Of course, now he's injured, so it's not really too much of a question right now. But if you have these challenges all across the pitch, like both of you have just mentioned, you know, it's going to raise the level of the team. These guys are going to have to go into training every day fighting for their spot, and it's going to make everyone better on the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, it's a headache, I'm sure, for the manager, but at the end of the day, it's going to help keep everyone sharp. It's going to help when, after the World Cup, you're going to have guys coming back off of that. Who knows who's going to come back in what condition, depending on who plays, you know, how long. So it's going to be a luxury, especially, you know, if Lukaku can come back and stay healthy, if Brozovic gets back, and I don't really worry about him getting back to his own level. But yeah, that's going to be great going down the stretch. I don't see any other team in Serie A that has the depth that we have when everyone is in form. I mean, when everyone's out of form, like what we were watching early in the season, that was a fucking nightmare. I don't think we'll see any more of that. I don't want to see any more of that. But I'm very happy with it. And moving, I just saw a comment that caught my eye from Mattia. Recipe for success: Skriniar as captain, Onana in goal. The Skriniar as captain has won against Barcelona and drawn against Barcelona. And I think it's been very positive for the team having Onana, who can play with his feet, which we saw for at least one of the goals. I feel like everyone could be more positive when he's in goal. And then having your captain, you know, able to move around the pitch, not just stuck, you know, in his own penalty area, I think that's helped this team. And I think Skriniar has been a leader in this team for a long time. So I hope that Skriniar is, you know, getting the armband. I hope this is something that is about to happen. I know he's in contract talks now. But yeah, I would ask if this is how we should continue on, but I think that would be a unanimous yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask, is Skriniar second choice after Handanovic anyway, or what does that look like?
Brozovic?
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of been a seniority thing, like who's been there the longest. And so it went from Skriniar, it went to went from Handanovic to Brozovic. And then we've seen Lautaro get it from time to time. But
D'Ambrosio.
Yeah, D'Ambrosio's had it. Yes. Yes, but I mean, when he's in, he can have it. I don't know how much of D'Ambrosio we'll be seeing this season. I know we saw against Sassuolo, right? He started.
Yeah, he did okay. I think he didn't do too bad. Obviously, rotation purposes, he's definitely still like usable. So,
yeah. I mean, there is still, to me, a strong, you know, leadership core in this team, and if any of them, you know, are passing that band around, I'm happy. But I really do hope that it's officially Skriniar soon, because there's something satisfying, I guess, also just watching his career and the lore behind his sacking of agents and staying and all this stuff, even while Zhang's trying to kick him out of the door and he's like hanging on by a cliff and he's like stomping at his fingers. He's still staying here. I hope that whole situation gets worked out soon, because I mean, PSG looks like they're in a bit of a meltdown anyway. So if they're out of the running, there's really nothing to worry about anyway.
Have you seen one of the reasons apparently why Mbappe wants to leave?
He was apparently
promised Skriniar and two more players to join PSG either in summer or winter. Like, since none of them came or are looking to come, that's one of the reasons he's like throwing a hissy fit right now. It's just fantastic.
Well, it's good that we rattled them. Makes me happy, 100%. I'm not a PSG fan in any way, shape, or form. I cannot stand them, so great.
Yeah. I mean, after some comments that came out of there about the whole Skriniar situation, I'm happy. I think this is karma. What goes around comes around. You try to unsettle someone else's, you know, a cornerstone of their team, you deserve whatever's coming for you. I hope it continues. Long live the dumpster fire at PSG. What else is there? I guess Salernitana coming up. I mean, there's not too much there, I don't think. I'm not too worried. I know it's a noon start, and those can be problematic. At least it's a Sunday. If we were playing on this Saturday, I would worry about the fitness of this team after, you know, going as many rounds as they did with Barcelona. But we know how Lautaro scores against Salernitana. What are you guys expecting in that match? I'm expecting at least two from Lautaro, because this is his team.
Salernitana, man, you know. That's the team for him.
Hat-trick minimum. I mean, no, in all honesty, you know, it's... is there anything to say? We have now this... a string of positive results after the two embarrassing losses to Roma and Udinese now. So, you know, we have to keep building on it. You know, if you lose here, it's a real risk to like start another turmoil of a season, you know, even before the World Cup. I won't say we have to go 100% until the World Cup, but we should not lose any matches, period.
Yeah.
You know, Bayern, I'll get if we draw. But any other match, I think we have Juventus as well. Just checking. So we have Salernitana now home. By the way, Christo and I will be doing the watch along. So if you want to see us suffer, be sure to.
Oh, stay. We gotta do some promo. Yeah, another watch along at 6:30 my time. So I may or may not drag myself on. Probably on the may not side, but we'll see.
Please do it. We have Fiorentina away on the 27th. 22nd. Sorry. Victoria Pilsen home on the 26th. Inter Sampdoria on the 29th at home, and then on the 1st of November we have away at Bayern Munich, and on the 6th we have Juventus away, followed by Bologna and Atalanta, which are the last two games before the World Cup. Okay. The only acceptable losses I would take is like Bayern Munich, because Bayern Munich away, and I mean, Napoli just seems in such good form right now. honestly, they're just balling. I'm waiting for the Spalletti mid-season crisis, but seeing how there's a break in between, I think that this crisis might get postponed, you know, so he has like, now he has 3 good months to play, and now then it's going to be 1 month of a break, basically. I don't know how many players of Napoli even go to the World Cup. I don't think many are going to do. And then I don't think they're going to stop. I think they're going to just keep on going.
I don't know.
I think the question is whether or not they have the depth to do it. You mentioned the inter-depth, like the depth we have in our squad. I don't know if Napoli have that to go throughout a whole season. Obviously, you have that World Cup break, but obviously some players play in that as well. It'll be interesting to see for sure if they can keep it up during the knockouts and with League and Cup going on at the same time. Are they going to be able to field players that are fit enough every game to the point where they can keep up their streaks? Like, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I guess lucky for them, their best player right now, one of the guys who's performing the best probably across Europe, is Georgian, and I don't think Georgia is in any kind of serious competition. Yeah, and I mean, Raspadori's been good, of course. He won't be going anywhere. I think at least World Cup wise, they might get through relatively unscathed. But I do agree with Simi that once you get to knockouts and once you have Copa going on, you have the league ramping up. I don't know how packed the league fixture list gets after the World Cup. I don't know if like we're trying to condense more into less time again. I mean, I'm sure probably
it has to. Yeah. Because the break is so long,
yeah. So there's gonna be, you know, it's gonna probably look a little bit like that first post lockdown part of the season where, you know, it's match every like 2-3 days, and if that's happening, I do worry about that Napoli squad. So that could be where that downfall happens. But we have them before the break, right? You said, Ian?
No, I just looked. It's after.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The first game after.
Well, first game. Wow.
First
game
after at home.
Oh, right into the fire. Oh.
But it's like, I've just looked at the schedule. It's basically one game a week apart from the first week when we have Napoli on the 4th and then Monza on the 8th. And then we have LS Verona on the 15th. So it's basically 3 games in 11 days. Then it's basically once per week. Then the Coppa Italia and the... In the middle of the weekend, UCL knockouts.
Yeah, so yeah, but we're going to have Coppa Italia, most likely Champions League, and I don't even know when the Supercoppa is.
18th.
Yeah, 18th of January?
January.
Okay. So okay, yeah, right
Saudi
after.
In Saudi Arabia.
In Riyadh. Oh yeah, I remember.
Riyadh, Marsu.
That was a thing.
Yeesh. But getting back to Salernitana, just looking at their team right now, I mean, there's a few places that you can get yourself paranoid. I mean, they have Kendreva still playing, still kicking around out there. Sepe and goal can put in a good performance against Inter from time to time. You know, our old friend Pum Piontek up front. I'm not too worried. There's some players that it would be very much memes and everything else if they scored. But, you know, I trust this team right now. How much rotation would y'all do, though, in this match? How much do you want to see? Because that was a very intense, you know, emotionally and physically with Barcelona. So, I mean, are we going to see Ian's man, D'Ambrosio, and his other man, Handanovic, in this one? Are we going to get just pure terror Ian ball or... Yeah, I don't know what to really make of this one. Maybe Mkhitaryan back in that Regista spot, maybe Aslani getting a start. What are you guys looking for in that match personnel wise? Whoever wants to take that one, Ken.
Ian, go on.
I mean, look, all right, so I'm looking at the schedule. It's 3.5 days after the Barcelona match, and then we have basically a whole week off for Fiorentina. I wouldn't really rotate that much. They have a whole week then to rest.
Okay. So, okay, that's fair.
Sure. Yeah. Rotate Skriniar. Would you rotate De Vrij?
Yeah, I'd get a Cherby back in.
You would?
Yeah.
Gosens, definitely Gosens.
Yeah.
Maybe Belanova, depends on who starts in the defense. If we start Skriniar, I would definitely start Belanova.
I see Darmian starting.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the guy, but I really want the younger players to play more.
Yeah, I totally get that. But, you know, just looking at the way Inzaghi is sometimes, you know, that is a great safety blanket to have with Darmian. I don't want to see him on the left. I do not like him at all on the left.
Yeah, same. I have to agree.
Yeah, no, that one grinds my gears. But maybe if we're getting Gosens reintegrated and DeMarco keeps up his form, we don't have to worry about that.
Who would you start up top? Because Lukaku has been confirmed not to play yet again.
Correa same, right? Apple. Yeah.
Would you start Carboni? Would you start Mkhitaryan behind whoever plays up top?
I don't like that idea. I don't like Mkhitaryan as a like central attacking midfielder behind Lautaro. I don't think that's the right way to go about it. I think Carboni could be an option from the bench, maybe like 50th, 60th minute sort of thing. Maybe not a start, but I definitely think he deserves 30, 35 minutes. He got a bit of time against, he got like 5 minutes against Roma, who am I kidding? But yeah, he could get like a couple of minutes against Salernitana would definitely benefit him for sure.
Yeah. No, the match for me, if we were going to play Mkhitaryan in that advanced role, would have been Barcelona. So you have four guys in the midfield against Barcelona's three. That would have been it for me. And that didn't happen there. So I don't see it happening here. You don't need to go that conservative against Salernitana. I wouldn't be mad sticking with Dzeko Lautaro. Both of them have goals. Both of them are coming off of like some pretty good performances. I'd be fine with it. Correa, maybe you have him on early in the second half for Dzeko. I don't think we've seen Lautaro make it a full 90 very often this season, right? Like there's usually when Correa was fit, it would be him first. No, I may be getting it mixed up, but I expect to see Correa, probably not from the start. I wouldn't mind it, but I mean, if Lukaku is going to keep, you know, it's just going to be Lukaku next week, every week, you're going to have Correa fit, and I don't want to, you know, rush him and put too much on him from a start.
Funny how you said, sorry to cut you off. Funny how you said, Lautaro doesn't finish 90 minutes often. Every time he started, he finished.
Oh wow! Okay.
Hey, that's a great one. That is a BOTW bomb right there. That is some.
Someone hasn't done the research.
Analysis. Yeah, no, I was just kind of going off of. I think I got it mixed up with last season, but
He's been subbed on twice. Once he played 35 minutes. Once he played 18 minutes. But other than that, he's played every single minute.
That's why you're here with the stats, because I just say shit and then we see what happens. I don't care who starts really, as long as we get the win. You need to start picking up points because we're still look at the standings here. Seventh, yeah. I mean, even with 3 points here, the highest you could go is nowhere. You can literally only stay in seventh. So you've got to tread water here until you can start gaining ground. You can't lose any more ground this season. I mean, that's four losses this season. Maybe not in, let me look. Yeah, four losses in the league. 5-0-4. So, yeah, you've got to start winning because you can't. You're not going to win the league with many more than four losses, just counting points. So you've got to start picking up points in these matches you're expected to. And even we're going to have to start, you know, something that Inzaghi hasn't done, get the big points out of the big matches, you know, with Milan, with Juve. I mean, he's gotten Juve a couple of times, but Napoli, you got to get the points head to head now too. Like there's not really too much leeway for me, at least. Like when I look at the schedule, you've got to beat Salernitana.
Just to keep the winning mentality or the momentum going.
Yeah, that as well. I mean, if you pick that up, that's four wins on the bounce in all or four good results. Yeah, I keep calling Barcelona away a win, but that felt like a win, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So
in my books, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It was a great match.
Yeah, for great sure. Result. Let me run through the comments real quick, and then we'll get some last remarks, and we'll head out because we're hitting about our usual time frame. Matthias said
we could make merch with this saying, you know.
What?
In some sort of context, you always say that we only always last like about an hour, like the episodes are about an hour. It's always in some kind of a we're hitting our usual mark. We're hitting our usual 1 hour mark, something like that.
Are you saying it can last an hour? Come on. Yeah, Matthew here, Secret Truths, Nyx. Matthew says he's got Inzaghi at a 10 out of 10. Nyx realizing that, you know, Gagliardini catching strays from Ian, even when he hasn't played and the team's winning. it's never a bad time to throw some strays at that guy. Still support him when he's on the pitch, but I don't want to see him. We'll go ahead and, move into final whatevers. Simi, anything you want to plug? Thank you so much again for coming on. I mean, this is such short notice.
Listen, I'm honored to be on here anyway. Anything I want to plug, first of all, I want to say, Ian has messaged me about the Inter versus Pilsen game. I do hope I can make that happen. Obviously, me and Ian went to a game before with Udinese. It was a great experience. If that can work out, then that would be great to see San Siro twice in a month, basically. And hopefully that works out. I'm still working on it, but, you know, you can make it happen. And then, anything I want to plug, obviously, Twitter's. I'm always active on Twitter when it comes to Inter or just football in general. It's simple_FIFA. And I try to be very involved in like the Inter community and stuff and Serie A Twitter in general. And then, I stream on Twitch as well. I did an Inter watch along, I want to say like a month ago. I think it was for the Inter Pilsen game, the first one. And I didn't really get everything right in terms of what I wanted it to look like, but it could definitely be a thing for the future. And obviously on stream, it's great to interact with the chat and everything. So hopefully I can get that going. And then, I just stream FIFA, any other games as well, Minecraft, Call of Duty, anything that I like playing. So, if anyone wants to roll through, follow me on there. We're trying to hit 200 followers. And, hopefully the Twitch link is SimpleFIFAYT, so Y and T for YouTube, if anyone wants to come through. And, that's about it for me.
We'll link all your stuff. We'll get it on Twitter. Make sure to add you and everything. If anyone's looking for that kind of content, hit our guy up. We'll have you back on sometime. This has been great. I really appreciate Definitely. It. And Ian, what can you even say at this point, man? Is it gonna be another OnlyFans only feed joke, or what are we leaving on today?
Dude, we're past that. It was a stage. Maybe when Bristol comes back, you know, he brings out the freaky side of me.
This guy.
The old Ian is dead. This is the new Ian. New and improved.
Like, comment, share, subscribe. Get your nan to watch it, you know.
Your dog, clap. Your cat.
You know, Mike is going to make it clap, apparently. hit the notification bell. Down here,
I think it would be over here. I don't know where it's at, but
who wants to miss this? Like, come on. And you get feedback. But in all honesty, thank you guys for watching again. To everyone, to Mattia, to Seeker of Truth, Nick Knox, love seeing you guys here. We've hit 211 subscribers, I think.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, we're over 200. Things are going good. We just, gotta get our scheduling back on. It's on me today. But Hristo, if you're out there,
follow the Twitter.
Follow the Twitter.
Shy of 1400.
Oh wow!
Wow, numbers, man, incredible.
We get more of those eyes on the pods, though. We're gonna work on that somehow. But it's been a good one, guys. What's the schedule? I know Hristo has set up a schedule for us this week. What is it? This episode then the watch along, and then an episode on Sunday after the watch along.
I don't think I'll be able to do it.
Okay, so you're not doing double time. You're not doing overtime. We don't pay you enough for that one. Yeah, we don't pay. We don't
spending time with Crystal like 3 hours of a day.
No, but yeah, we'll be on. Get Dave back on as well. He had something come up today. And yeah, a full squad coming up soon. Thanks again, Simi. Thanks again, everyone. And we'll see you all in the next one. I'm gonna keep talking until I find the outro, and we are out.